Welcome to Asphalt Talk, a podcast by and for asphalt professionals. Join our expert hosts as they tackle real industry issues to pave a smoother way for asphalt suppliers and producers. This podcast is sponsored by MAPA, the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Founded to promote quality and accountability, MAPA has been serving the asphalt producers of Missouri since 1990. And now a public service announcement from our sponsor, May Create Design. Google Translate doesn't work for web designer to paving company translations. You say hot mix and it thinks you're talking about the latest snack craze. Wouldn't it be nice to work with a designer who knows the difference between binders and bitumen? Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. Visit maycreate.com. That's M-A-Y-E-create.com. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Asphalt Talk. I'm your host, Rick Bierman, with the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Today, we're sitting down with a couple of guests. I've got Joe Bardill with the Forta Corporation, who is the chairperson for the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. And I've got Brian Kelso with Delta Companies, who's also the chairperson for the Young Leaders of the Arkansas Pavement Association. Joe and Brian, thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, sir. Glad to be on.
Yeah. I guess we'll kick this conversation off with Joe, since this is a Missouri podcast and he's the Missouri guy. So Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of what your role is.
I've been with Forta for going on 4 years now, and I've actually been a member of the association for going on four years now. So this will actually be my, I guess, fourth joint meeting. Like Rick said, I'm the chairperson for the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association Emerging Leaders Committee.
Cool.
Looking forward to getting out of Branson this year. Go see something different.
So. Yep, it'll be a little different this year. Brian, tell us about yourself.
Yes, sir. I work for Delta Companies here in our South region in Arkansas. Delta actually works in both Missouri and Arkansas. We have a North region out of Cape Girardeau, but I've been with Delta going on 5 years. I've always been a part of that paving association with my tenure here at Delta. But prior to that, I'm from North Texas, and we worked in South Arkansas. And so I was in the paving association 2 or 3 years before that. So fortunately, I've made every trip to Branson, and it's been a good time. So
very nice. Brian, Delta is a pretty big company. What is your specific role there at Delta South, I guess?
Yep. So I'm actually the construction manager. So I oversee all of our construction team here in the South region.
Wow. That sounds like a bigger role than an emerging leader. It sounds to me like you may have already emerged.
Well, there are days, but, yeah, it's fun. We have a pretty good team here.
So. Very cool. So you've been a part of that's kind of nice. We've got two guys here on this with me who have been a part of this for almost its entirety. I think you said you've done all 5 years, and Joe, you've done 4 of the 5. So just to kind of give our audience a little bit of history on kind of why we're coming together today to talk. As we've been saying, this is the fifth time that the Arkansas Pavement Association Young Leaders and the Emerging Leaders of the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association come together once a year to have what we call a joint meeting. And I think both of you guys kind of made reference to this is the first time that this meeting will be hosted somewhere other than Branson. Branson, Missouri has been a good host for us. It's been a good location because it's kind of equal distance for everybody to get to. Not that it had gotten stale, but we wanted to make sure that we kept everything, you know, fresh and kept people interested in coming together. So this year, and one of the interesting things about this meeting is each side takes a turn planning. So, you know, started out with Missouri planning the first one and then Arkansas, and we've kind of flip-flopped back and forth. And that makes it nice for everybody. You don't have to do it every year. But this year, Missouri decided to move the meeting down to the NCAT test track down in Auburn. So we'll be down there October 6th through the 9th. And this event is kind of open. This is the first time that we're kind of opening it up to not only members of the young and emerging leaders, but we're actually opening it up to our full memberships, because we felt like this is something that everybody might be able to get a use for. Brian, tell me a little bit about, so like you said, this is the fifth year you've done it, and you continue to come back. What do you see the value in getting together with your counterparts from Missouri, not only from the Delta company, but from what may be considered maybe some competitors? What do you guys see the value in that?
You know, it's always good, you know, to get with your counterparts in your industry. You know, iron sharpens iron. So it's good to build networks, relationships with people in the industry. You just never know when your paths are going to cross or when you need some help. So, you know, just looking back, starting, say, 7, 8 years ago, getting into the young leaders or emerging leaders and to where I am today, just those, the networking and relationships we've built through the years have been so impactful for me. And then just gaining industry knowledge, you know, as a young man coming up, you kind of intimidated getting into it because you don't know the lingo or, you know, some of the specifications, the things that we talk about. But as you get older, it gets a little more important and rooted into what you do day to day. So, you know, just gathering with everybody in those meetings is huge. And then, you know, the motivational speakers and the guest speakers we have, just the education piece as well. So it's been good. Yeah. We've enjoyed Branson for sure.
Yeah. And you know, and I think you kind of hit on something there as young professionals are learning an industry, it sometimes can be a challenge because you don't, you know, it's intimidating, like you said. You know, you don't want to tell your boss or maybe somebody that's important that you don't know what you don't know. And so it's, you know, you come to an event like this and you can gain a lot of knowledge from what feels more like your peers, and especially if it's people that you don't necessarily know, it's a lot easier to maybe get some of that information. Joe, what about yourself? This is, like you said, this will be the fourth one that you've attended. And I know you kind of come at this from a little bit different angle, being, you know, more of an associate member. What's the, you know, outside of obviously a opportunity for you to maybe sell a product or two, what's the personal value, or where do you see the value for yourself and maybe for your peers?
Yeah, so it kind of piggybacks off Brian's point. You know, it provides a chance to network and build relationships through educational opportunities on a professional level. You know, it, as far as, you know, getting to meet people, it makes it easier to call on people sometimes. You know, if, you know, you're we're all together, we're having fun over a common ground, or you know you're meeting people not by trying to sell something, but just to simply meet people, it makes it easier to reach out, have a conversation. Or, you know, if there's a project going on, like for this instance in Arkansas, you know, it's like, oh, I've met, say, Brian before. You know, there's a job mm-hmm. going down there with fiber or something, it's easier to call him, he's seen me, he knows me, I'm not some stranger just, you know, calling randomly. So
build some trust.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I have this conversation with folks, you know, in my role, and making sure that we continue to provide relevant, you know, content, relevant meetings. You know, we don't want to do things just to do things. And, you know, some of your peers on the Missouri side, you know, some of the feedback from this particular meeting and the huge value that they get from it is they've got, you know, somebody now that they can call. If we've got folks up here that may be in central or northern Missouri and they don't compete with you, Brian, at all. And, you know, it's a lot easier for them to pick up the phone and say, or be down at this meeting and say, hey, you know, this year we kind of had this problem. You know, how do you guys handle this? Or has this ever come up in Arkansas? And, you know, it's a lot, you're a lot more forthcoming with information when it's not, you know, a direct competitor or somebody like that. So that's one of the more valuable tools too, that I think, you know, has kind of come from this. I think we're all kind of in the same boat. Brian or Joe, have either one of you guys ever been down to NCAT before?
Yeah, we were Pacific Geosource, we went down as a company, toured the test track, went through the lab and stuff. It was really neat. It was a cool experience. I'm excited to do it again. I mean, when we went down, I was really fresh into the industry and it was just a lot of information and stuff. So now knowing a little more, it'll be cool to see it, you know, be able to maybe dissect the information a little better. So
very cool. Brian, what about you?
Yeah, this actually would be my first time. I think we're bringing five from Delta, and it's the same for everyone that we've never been. a lot of the guys have been with Delta for a long time. So we're really interested in seeing what NCAT has to offer.
Yeah, well, Joe, we'll have to follow you around. You'll have to show us all the ropes on all the things that we're going to be able to do while we're down there. Yeah, because again, it's going to be the first time for me, and it'll be interesting. We've got another one of these podcasts coming up later this month with Nathan from the track down there, and he's going to dive in a little bit deeper on, you know, a little bit more into the detail of what we expect to talk about you know, while we're down there. You know, another aspect that we introduced into this meeting a couple of years ago was the golf competition, and for the last 2 years, Arkansas has beat the hell out of us up here in Missouri. So, Joe, who are we gonna bring with us this year to see if we can't turn that tide a little bit? We got to find a better way to, you know. I guess we're in charge of the scorebook this year, so maybe we can pencil with it a little bit and figure out a way to actually bring that really cool trophy home to Missouri.
Yeah, need to start golfing more.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they work in Arkansas.
I would assume whoever's controlling that scorecard has got the advantage. So.
Yeah. Any other parts of the meeting? I know, like I said, I just brought up the golf. We've, you know, it seems like it's just another way to add a little bit of camaraderie and some friendly competition to it. We've golfed at every one of these events, like I said, for the last 5 years. And 2 years ago, we decided to introduce that traveling trophy, which, you know, made it a little bit of competition, but also added to the fun of it. You know, and you guys mentioned some of the networkings and the meetings. Is there, you know, is there anything that either one of you guys feel like, you know, needs to change, or, you know, is there anything different that you think we, outside of changing the location and going to NCAT, but the meeting itself, is there anything that you guys would change about it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think outside of golf, the other event that's usually looked forward to, which in Branson was at Andy B's,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah.
Which this year we've got something similar, correct?
Yeah, we're doing it's a similar setup. You know, it's a social, but if for those on listening to this that aren't quite familiar with Andy B's, it's kind of an adult social place where they've got, you know, all kinds of different adult games like bowling, and then, you know, all of the more of the arcade style games, bags, you know, the pop a shot, things like that. And it just keeps that fun competitive going. You know, there's the one thing too that I've noticed about that event over the years, and you know, you always have that concern of, okay, well, when we do this, are we going to have the Arkansas guys over in this corner and the Missouri guys over in that corner? And nobody really, you know, the old high school dance thing, right? You know, all the girls over here and the boys over there, and nobody really intermingling. But I don't, I have noticed that social event, it probably helps that we do it after a few cocktails out playing golf. And then, you know, then we go to the social, and those, I don't know that guy barriers, maybe not quite as overwhelming. What about your thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, the golf has really helped with splitting the teams between, you know, Arkansas, Missouri, really getting to know each other. So I think it tears down the barriers there, you know, going into your social evenings and as well as the meetings. And as well, you know, this is the fifth or sixth year that this has been a joint meeting?
I thought it was the fifth year.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the fifth year. So, well, you know what? I take that back, Brian. I think you're right. I keep saying the fifth year. I think we've done it 5 years. This is the sixth year. Sorry.
Okay.
So yeah, we've done it for five previously.
So there's pretty strong relationships built over the 5 or 6 years. So I think, you know, moving forward, it makes it a lot easier. Joe and I, we've played golf together, so it's nice to have that history. And then, like you said, on midday or if something comes up within our work. Relationships, we've had that as well. So,
yeah,
Branson is a hard venue to beat just because they're the Broadway or you know the downtown area. It, you can leave the hotel and then go have drinks or eat or Andy B's, and so that's been nice. So I'm kind of curious to see what Auburn has to offer in NCAT, and looking forward to the golf course, and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, same here. I mean, like I said, I'm looking forward to it being just something different. You know, you know, and you guys both have mentioned from an education standpoint, and previously I think we've all done a pretty good job of, you know, in Branson, there's not really, you know, we're lucky this time around with going to NCAT and having the test track kind of be our education. But in Branson, in the past, we've had to bring folks in and plan that out. And, you know, I know some of the key things that we've done in the past have talked about partnerships. And, you know, we brought in the folks from the Kansas DOT, because they actually have a director of partnering within their DOT. So that's been a previous topic that I know was a pretty big success. We've had some government relations folks that have kind of helped us understand that the value of, you know, you guys both mentioned within the industry what relationships mean and the relationships that you build, you know, amongst yourselves and your peers. And, you know, we've discussed about, you know, how to build those political relationships as well, which can be very important to, you know, to achieving our goals. You know, not necessarily, you know, getting a bid or winning this or that, but, you know, if you guys both have mentioned in your descriptions of this meeting, those relationships, when you have a true relationship with somebody, it makes it so much easier to pick up the phone and call them. You know, they know who you are. Their guard isn't up. They're not wondering, you know, is this guy trying to pull the wool over my eyes? They know you as a human. So, you know, those are some of the topics that we've garnered from this meeting in the past. And I think, you know, kind of going forward, you know, I know this is all going to be new for us, but I think, you know, some of the things that we're going to learn is about, you know, the value that NCAT provides to our industry as a whole. I know Brian, you guys actually have the Arkansas DOT has a section on the road down there, and we're going to be getting one of our guest speakers is going to be is a vendor who has supplied some supplemental materials for that section. So I think we're all kind of looking forward to that. Anything else that you're looking forward to, Brian, from an education standpoint while we're down there?
You know, really interested in the NCAT. I've been in the industry around it for almost 18 years, so it's pretty cool to kind of see the fundamentals or whatever you want to call it of making mixed designs and seeing that come together. So honestly, it's really the NCAT
And how they do it.
mainly. Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of, again, I've only been in the industry for 5, 6 years myself, and understanding how specific they get in and their ability to, you know, like for you guys, for example, they, you know, they bring in all of your aggregates and they bring all of that material from your local plant there, and they ship it all over there to NCAT, and they actually produce that, you know, your mix in their facility. And they do that, you know, that many levels all the way around that track. I'm like you. I'm going to be fascinated to see kind of how they do that. Joe, you've been there before, and you mentioned, I think, in kind of your intro, you kind of have the luxury of okay, all the wowness, all the newness is not there. You know kind of what to expect, but you're kind of looking forward to, you know, being able to get a little bit more granular with your visit this time. Anything else well, I guess maybe as the only veteran on this call, if we've got some of our members who are going to be joining us, is there any advice you would give them as somebody who's been there before?
The last time I was down there when we did the lab tour, it's just a lot to take in and a lot to see. I just, maybe advise keep an open mind and really pay attention whoever's given the tour. It's easy to get distracted in there. There's a lot of things to look at and things going on, and it's But it, I'm excited to, I think that's what I'm looking forward to the most is the lab tour again. It's just, it's neat, all the little gadgets and stuff they've got that, test asphalt. So.
Make asphalt better. Yeah,
Nope.
that's I agree, and I would say, you know, don't hesitate to ask questions. You know, right? We've got a lot of time built in to especially the lab tour, because that was some of the feedback that we got as the planning committee, was like you said, Joe, that, you know, it's a lot to take in. So, you know, make sure you leave plenty of time, and the big thing with that is we got the time. So the membership really needs to dig in and ask those questions. Any other thoughts that you guys have or anything you guys want to share with our audience about this meeting or about your young leader groups before we depart?
I think it's a great opportunity for someone that's getting into the industry. You know, it's easy. We're all looking to have fun and learn as we go. So I'd advise, you know, if you've got some people that in mind that you think would benefit from joining these groups, I'd encourage it. It's helped me. I'm sure it's helped Brian. It's you know, it's a good time. So.
Yeah. And with that from on the Missouri side, you know, if you've got folks that you think could benefit either, you know, from this meeting or from being a part of the emerging leaders, you can certainly, you know, check out our website, you know, and we've got our application to join the group is there on the website, or you can reach out to our office. Brian, what's the process for you guys to join your young leaders group?
You know, I would reach out to Park Estes and Catherine, and we, you know, typically through email or whatever, we can just reach out, we'll get you set up. I know if you're a new contractor within the association, you'll have to go, you know, be approved by the board. But the as far as young leaders, just reach out to me, reach out to Park. You can reach out to Mason Klein. He's the vice chair this year. And we'll get you hooked up. We'll point you the right direction. So, and to piggyback off Joe, I'll say this. RDOT, we're going through a specification rewrite right now. And so, you know, within this last year of going through that, the association and all the members have come together to help go through the rewrite. And so it's been really cool to see the contractors come together and work together as a team, even though that we are competitors. So a big part of that is through the associations and just years of networking and building those relationships. So I think this is a great event. This is a great opportunity to get your foot in the door. And, you know, if this is your first year participating, come by, say hello, you know, reach out, introduce yourself, who you're with. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. Make sure. Yeah. That's some great advice for new people. You know, it's like anything, you know, the golden rule of networking is you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And if you just kind of show up and sit in the corner and don't open your mouth, you're probably not going to get a whole lot out of it. But if you put yourself out there a little bit, work the room, walk around, introduce yourself, I will say this industry is full of some of the best people, some of the best relationships. You guys, we talked about that, you know, a lot throughout this whole podcast. It's vital to the industry, but the people are awesome and amazing. You know, there's nobody that's gonna look at you cross-eyed, you know, unless somebody might be wearing a hog shirt and somebody might be wearing a tiger shirt, and we may look at each other a little cross-eyed, but at the end of the day, we all work in the same field. And so you're right, Brian. I mean, we've kind of seen the same thing up here in Missouri with the, you know, that's the one thing that I think that is the value of the association. It is a unified voice. And it gives that place for, you know, competing contractors to kind of come together with one collective voice. And that's kind of, you know, and I think the emerging leaders kind of give the opportunity for young folks to kind of learn, you know, how they can participate in that, you know, with their voice. So I really appreciate you guys jumping on with me today, and I really look forward to seeing both of you guys in person coming up again on this event is October 6th through the 9th. You can also again find the registration information on our website, and that website is, you know, moasphalt.org. If you go to the events, the registration is right there. And it's like I said, it's open to all Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association and the Arkansas Pavement Association members. So we hope that you will join us down there. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the second part of our two-part Asphalt Talks. I hope everybody enjoyed the conversation with Joe and Brian. And joining me now is Nathan Moore, the Assistant Director for Test Track Research from the NCAT Test Track down in Auburn. Nathan, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing very well. Very well. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're We're very excited to be coming down and visiting you. Joe and Brian and I just kind of had a conversation about our joint meeting and kind of what we've done in the past. And I think everybody kind of shared some enthusiasm for what we're about to experience when we come down there. So we'll be down there at the test track on October 6th through the 9th. And so we're pretty excited about that. Nathan,
Yeah,
tell
that'll
us.
be a good one. I think you guys are y'all are the first group that's gonna get to see the new track. So it's a great time to visit.
Perfect. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, kind of who you are and kind of what your role is there at the track.
Sure. Yeah. So I came up to Auburn in 2010, and I never left. So I started as a freshman at Auburn University, did civil engineering. As a sophomore, I thought that civil engineering was bridges and buildings and structural engineering. And then I quickly found that that stuff was very boring for me personally. I kind of accidentally happened across asphalt. That's a pretty common experience from what I've gathered. For every one person that actually meant to get into this field, it seems like there's about 15 to 20 who it just kind of happened that way. But anyway, so I started working at NCAT in the lab, in the main lab in 2012 as a student worker, shaking rocks, breaking TSRs, doing mix design, stuff like that. And then sort of slowly worked my way up and got hired on as a full-time engineer in 2017. And I just recently assumed this role, Rick. I started in April, filling in for most of your listeners probably have heard of or know personally Buzz Powell. So those in the industry, I just kind of say I'm not Buzz Powell, but I'm the new Buzz Powell, right?
You took over the role that Buzz Powell used to have. So yeah,
There you go. Buzz keeps telling me stop saying that because I'm my own person, and whereas I agree with him, it's just kind of easier to describe what I do as I just do what Buzz used to do.
Absolutely. Everybody, I've only been in the industry now for this, I don't know, 6 years. But that, I honestly, I don't really even know what Buzz did at the track. I just knew that Buzz was really smart and knew more about asphalt than anybody else. And, when everybody said you got a technical question like that, or, call Buzz. And so it's like when you say I'm the new Buzz Powell. That makes total sense even to a novice like myself.
Well, I'm still trying to learn. I've got a lot to learn to fill my brain up with as much. Buzz has probably forgotten more about asphalt than I'll ever know. But I have been blessed in my young career to be exposed to all kinds of different materials and problems and unique and innovative solutions. And that's part of what makes me excited about now being the assistant director for the track research is getting a chance to kind of be on the forefront of many of these either new technologies or innovative solutions to different problems. I really like the types of work where a DOT comes to us with a very specific problem that sometimes not even their neighbors share, or maybe just a certain region shares, and getting a chance to shed some light onto that and do some really good research to help solve problems. So it I'm only about 5 months into the job, but I'm having the time of my life professionally anyway. It's a blast.
Awesome. That sounds exciting. And the way you just described it, that's a good segue into, what does the track actually do? How do you operate? So you mentioned, working with a specific DOT. What does that look like?
Yeah. So, zooming out to kind of just a 30,000 foot level, we like to say that the track serves as a proving ground for new technologies, innovative materials or methods, things like that. So, if a DOT, and primarily we're sponsored through departments of transportation. We do have quite a few private sponsors over the years, and currently we have many on the track now. And either they want to, showcase their product or their technology to the asphalt world, or whether it's a DOT who says, hey, you know, here's this problem and we can't afford to put this on our roads and have it fail. Let's test it out in a real world environment. So that's kind of, that's really the service that we provide. And it sounds simple, but we strive really hard to, as best as possible, simulate real world environments. So it's real construction methods on actual, real equipment, normal cross sections, things like that. But also, I mean, we'll haul in materials from as far as our sponsors. So we've hauled in material from Trinidad Lake Asphalt before, years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon, even for this build, we're hauling in aggregates from Oklahoma, as far west as Oklahoma and as far north as West Virginia, and kind of everywhere in between. So it's a pretty unique environment where every 200 feet on the test track, you kind of walk into a different, you're almost like in a whole new asphalt world. But so I guess I'll tell you a little bit more about the track. The track, we've got 46 different test sections that are 200 foot long. Each one of them kind of stands alone. And, we load the sections using heavy loaded triple trailers. Now the loads themselves are on each axle on these trailers are the maximum legal limit. We don't want to go past that because we start simulating loads that these pavements will not see in the real world, and it'll cause rapid failure. And it's kind of hard to, to do anything with those findings.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we traffic for 2 years around the track. During 2 years, we get 10 million easels.
Wow.
So depending on where you are, that could be as few as, 2 years of traffic on a heavy interstate route, but it could be as much as 7 to 10 years, just depending on the traffic in the area. But it is very much accelerated testing. I could talk about this forever. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, you've answered some really intriguing. I mean, you've given some great detail there on the number of sections, the amount of space, and you mentioned the ability to simulate real life, and you talked about some of the aggregates that get brought in. And, I've heard a couple of stories even from, like Dale Williams, our director here at the Asphalt Pavement Association. He said at his time at MoDOT, they were having some aggregate issues, and they actually shipped aggregates, into mm-hmm. you guys. And then you as you and I were preparing for this conversation, you were telling me about some of the challenges that are going on, because you mentioned we're going to be the first group on a new track, which means you're in the heart of construction right now, and you've got a little bit of an issue going on. And you said I'm sitting on a tanker of some binder from Kansas, and I've got we got a problem, so I got to get this all on the ground. And so it's getting it built. It sounds like it's a lot of a logistical challenge for you for maintaining all of that from everywhere across the country. But I guess it's something that in order to replicate that mix from Missouri or from Arkansas or Kansas or wherever, you've got to have, you got to put the, you got you guys in your, and kudos to the lab and to the folks there to, sounds like you got to be able to, mimic the basically build a mix design there for what you say, 46 different sections, 200 feet. That's a lot of different mixes to master in a short time for your guys.
Well, and one bit of clarification, we almost thankfully we don't do 46 new sections every year. And what's neat about that is, well, there's some of these, some sections have gone multiple years without failing.
Okay.
We actually, when your folks come here, I'll be sure to point these out. We have two sections that are still on the track from the original build in 2000. Wow. So they have experienced, I guess now 80 million easels and are still in service. Now they're 24 inches thick. So that'll do it. But still, in general, every cycle we replace and kind of reconstruct about a third of the sections.
Okay.
And that's about right now. But it's funny, you mentioned earlier all the logistics. I told my wife the other day, and I've been telling some folks here when they ask me how things are going, and I was like, well, I feel as if I've gotten a PhD in construction logistics because I'm not just working with one aggregate or one binder supply or you know, one type of binder. I mean, in a period of 4 days, I'm dealing with aggregates from North Carolina to Oklahoma to Tennessee, Mississippi, you know, and I'm planning for next week, which is West Virginia. And it's a lot of coordination. And then you have all these kind of ancillary folks who, you know, they may not be the funding the work, but I need their, you know, their application system, or I need their product support, or, you know, they're a vendor of some sort that I need. And I'm like, oh, well, crap, I forgot that I needed to, you know, I took that for granted. So there's been quite a few times where I've made a phone call to my team and I'm saying, hey, I dropped the ball. Can you help me out? And I've got a great, great, great support team. Honestly, they don't get enough credit. But from the main lab here, who's been pushing out mixed designs to sort of our lead in, you know, our lead researchers who have helped design some of these experiments, to our, you know, our technicians. One thing interesting about this, Rick, about this particular build, Buzz Powell built the first track and then the next, you know, the first one all the way up to number 8. And now here we are in number 9. And there was a lot of institutional knowledge that left, not just him, but our lead technician at the track is different. We have a handful of engineers here at the main lab who are different, who have never gone through a test track construction cycle. So our first week was extremely challenging as everybody, yeah, I told my wife, what was Mike Tyson's quote? Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yep.
That kind of describes our first week. But my team kind of, we regrouped and we quickly implemented some new systems and improved some things that, you know, and it has been a tremendous experience, but there have been some long nights. That's for sure.
Awesome. Sounds exciting. So what do you guys do? So, you know, right now you're heavily focused, obviously, on the build process. And, you know, so when we come down in October, hopefully, you know, if everything goes according to plan, the build will be complete. And, you know, so then what comes next? What, you know, like you said, you drive trucks around, you know, all day. And obviously I'm sure it's not just, you know, well, we drive trucks and then when it's over, we rebuild it. What happens, you know, what do you guys do in between?
Sure. So, you know, from the moment the finishing roller is off the last section to when we, you know, the first truck is on, there's about a 3 to 4 week period where we may be, like, for example, in this build, we've got a couple sections where the primary objective really has nothing to do with the asphalt mix or the construction, but it may be like a surface treatment. So we've got shot blasting, we've got grooving and grinding, we've got spray on rejuvenators. And we try to schedule that stuff like after construction, just because you can't get up to high speed whenever there's paving equipment or holes in the ground, stuff like that. And so then once that's done, we get our preliminary measurements. So we mark our random lines and we essentially zero out everything and start research for the next run. So, you know, initial crack numbers, which are hopefully zero, right? Initial rutting, initial IRI measurements, all that stuff. So I'm hopeful that by, I don't know, the third week, maybe the fourth week of October, we've actually started trucks. Once that happens, yeah, we our trucks drive. We have five vehicles. And just for reference, one truck is worth, it equals about 12 and a half ESOLs, which is just, you know, an astronomical number, you know, for folks who kind of understand pavement design. One truck is 12 and a half ESOLs. We have five of them and they drive around 16 hours a day in two shifts. So 2 8-hour shifts. We've got two fleets, a fleet of drivers, a day shift and a night shift. So every Monday we pause and we take weekly measurements. So we'll go out, we'll crack map, we'll measure rutting, we'll measure ride. We do all that stuff weekly. Monthly, we are measuring friction. So we have kind of a schedule that we're looking at all kinds of texture, ride, cracking, rutting, permeability, just, you know, anything you can think of, that we have. We either test it weekly, monthly, or quarterly, and that kind of just depends. So we'll just start that process, and it's really a 2-year process where we're just watching very closely. And hey, week to week change was this. We think a crack formed. So we have a very precise level of detail that we're able to capture. And our folks back at, you know, the engineers and our test track manager handles all that, and they just do an incredible job.
That's a lot of detail. But I mean, I guess that's kind of that's the purpose, right? As you mentioned, you know, if we were to put down something new or try something different, you know, here in Missouri, you know, you really don't want the general public to be the guinea pig. We think this might work. We hope it works. You guys are there to help them prove that it does. But then also, you know, I think you guys are able to, you know, as you said, if you're testing it or checking it, you know, weekly, monthly, quarterly, you know, nobody's coming out here and reach out, you know, it's like, oh yeah, that right. Job's done. It looks great. You know, it meets the pay grades. Okay, yeah. We'll move on. And it's not until we've got some sort of catastrophic problem that somebody goes, wait a minute, what happened here?
Well, let me give you an example. Here's a good example. A lot of times whenever people think of the NCAT test track successes, you know, you're thinking of, you know, a new technology or a new product being proven out. You know, an example, we helped ALDOT, the Alabama Department of Transportation, figure out that they were building their pavements about 20% thicker than they had to, and they could reduce pavement, you know, lift thickness and still get same performance. Well, that's an incredible finding. There's tons of savings in there. But one of the ones that I find more interesting that has happened in my time, that's kind of what you were talking about, that you can really only do if you're paying close attention. We helped the West Virginia Department of Highways had an aggregate source that they really wanted to use more of because it was locally available. It was cheap. Their contractors really wanted to use more of it, but it was known to be, you know, to have a polishing problem and it could create a friction issue. And they had a spec limit, you know, you can't go past this number. And they said, hey, we want to try what happens if we go past it. So we built them two sections where they went past that number. That number was 50% of this particular aggregate source. And I'm talking quick. Very quickly, we had a friction problem on our hands where, like, if you had put this on a public road, it would be very bad.
Yeah.
But we were able to do it here. Yeah. And eventually it got bad enough where we had to do something because we couldn't put our own drivers on it. But that is a success. Or some people may call it responsible failure.
Right.
But West Virginia got what they wanted to know. They answered the question.
Yep.
We can't do it.
Yep.
It's not safe. And that's one of the more interesting ones for me personally. One, because I'm NCAT's friction subject matter expert, so it is a little near and dear to my heart. But also, I really like seeing the departments of transportation push the envelope and be willing to have sections fail because you learn something from that.
Yep. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's and I like you said, I love the concept of being open to try something, you know, and you know, I what do they call it? The 7 most dangerous words to any growing business is that's the way we've always done it.
You know? Oh yeah.
And, you know, and in our industry and in here, myself personally, I work less with DOTs. I work more with, you know, municipal and local owners. And, you know, when I start to ask them about, you know, their specification or their design, you know, their pavement designs and where they came from, nobody really knows. And you know, we've got, you know, and St. Louis is very unique in that, you know, we've got 148 municipalities within 3 counties. And, and some of them are tiny. And, you know, but I've got neighboring municipalities. And, you know, this guy over here, he wants all virgin mix, no wrap. And, mm-hmm. you know, and he can't, and they don't understand the economies of scale and, mm-hmm. you know, that nobody really makes that. And then when you start digging into, you know, well, why is it that you don't allow wrap? Well, you know, back in 1984, we tried some wrap and it didn't work, right. Or it failed. Right. Or we had this problem. So the solution was just don't do it. And, and it's like, okay. So I really appreciate the concept of, hey, we'd like to try something new. We realize we don't want our citizens to be guinea pigs. What do we have? Oh, we've got Nathan and NCAT down here where we can go and try something out.
And that kind of thinking is, it's all over. It's not just St. Louis. It's not just Missouri, which is why I really applaud, we've had some DOTs who have been with us from the beginning, the very first track, and they haven't missed one. We've had some that have gotten off and gotten right back on. I applaud the willingness to try something.
Yeah.
Because if it fails, well, you learn, okay, well, that is not a viable solution to the problem. And if it succeeds, I mean, it could change the industry.
Yeah.
Depending on what we're looking at. And certainly it could change that local, the local industry in a positive way.
Yeah. So tell me, Nathan, about our group that's coming down, like I said, we're going to be there for, I think 3 or 4 days, and we're going to spend essentially, I think, 2 days with you guys. What can we expect? What are we? I mean, I know obviously we're gonna have a walking tour. We're gonna spend time out on the track. We're gonna spend some time in the lab. What does you guys have hosted groups in the past? I think you said ours might be one of the larger ones. But what can we expect when we come down? What are we gonna do?
Well, for one, in the Southeast, Auburn University, there's the nickname where we are the loveliest village on the plains. There is not a better time to visit Auburn, Alabama and Opelika, Alabama than October, in my opinion. It's the perfect time. I just hope for good weather. You and your members are coming to the greatest city in the world, as far as I'm concerned. I'm a homebody though, and it's a great place. So, but what you can expect is, first of all, just, we run a professional organization, and that's one of the things I really pride myself in. I worked here at the main lab. That's actually where I'm currently sitting, for almost 10 years before I moved out to the track. And it's just a neat place for asphalt nerds where we've got all these toys and all these fancy things, but we also have extremely practical tools. I'll point out, or if somebody who's doing lab tours can point out, some of the most asked about tools that we have in our lab are things that we actually just kind of rigged up, and we had a problem and we're like, this can solve us 45 seconds 40 times a day. Mm-hmm. And things like that. So it's just neat to have so much knowledge in one place about asphalt. So a lot of people will be bored, but your members won't be.
Yeah.
And then when we go out to the track, it's just an opportunity to walk the sections and to see what other folks are doing. That's also one of the primary benefits of either the DOTs or folks doing research on the track, or folks like yourself who are visiting, is you're walking around and you may happen to be in North Carolina's test section, and everything about asphalt is different, from one state to another sometimes, but you see what they're doing, or maybe, policymakers or decision makers or, quality control managers or whoever, specification writers walk through and they say, hey, this is actually pretty neat. I bet we could do this in our own state.
Right.
And that kind of exposure to the bleeding edge of just about everything you can think of in asphalt is pretty neat.
I just wrote down a phrase as you were talking there that, I call that collaboration of shop talk, because I felt like, one of the things that the work from home environment that was created by COVID, what it eliminated was, and especially me, I was about a year into this new, I did not come from the asphalt world. I knew it was black, and I knew, that there was a difference between concrete and asphalt. And that was about it before I came around. And when and then COVID hit, and I said, what you lose by not being around is exactly what you just described. You don't know what you don't know. And oh, you go out there and you walk around the track and you start to explain to us, you know, what North Carolina is doing and why they're doing it or the problem they had, you know, people hear that. And I, like I said, I always call that shop talk. Like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. What did you just say? Did you,
yeah.
Wait a minute, you can do that? I have idea. Wait a minute. Tell me more about that. And
I could fill your podcast with 4 hours of stories of where I was the listener and somebody came in and they said, yeah, we're having this aggregate problem in our state. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. And I heard, you know, something piqued my interest. And then I'm thinking, that's fascinating. And I happen to know a DOT 700 miles away,
right,
who is having the same problem.
Yeah.
And I have learned so much by asking a question or maybe just being around, keeping my mouth shut, and just listening.
It's important.
And then saying, wait a minute, can you know, not being afraid to ask the dumb question and saying, can you say that again? Yeah. Or I don't understand why that's a problem. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. Did I hear that correctly?
You're like, oh my goodness, this is incredible.
And you know, Nathan, I think that that's something too that can be of value. Because one of the things that Joe and Brian and I talked about in the first part of this podcast was the value of the relationships that get formed through these meetings. And I think our group coming down and all of these guys meeting you and understanding, you know, your role at the track and your history. And, you know, I think it's you can be a valuable resource because, you know, when they have a problem or when a customer calls them, whether that be a private customer or a public or a DOT, whatever, and they start describing a problem, I think having this experience to fall back on, you know, they may not have heard the exact answer while we're there, but, you know, them learning about you and the group down there as a resource to say, you know what, I don't know, but I know somebody who might. And let me reach out and see what kind of, you know, we can't be the only ones who've ever had this problem.
I have a contact list full in this phone of people that I would be, that I have been able to say, I don't know the answer to that problem, but I met somebody one time and have, you know, established a relationship with them. Let me call you back.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you end up on a rabbit trail and you end up, you know, learning something you didn't know. Sometimes it's something really simple, but that's one of the primary benefits, in my opinion, of NCAT. It's that collaboration. And the willingness to share everything, you know, most of what we do anyway is public. There's a few things that we do that are behind an NDA, but very rarely, especially on the track, it's kind of hard to hide a 200-foot pavement section. People right. just walk over it and they say, hey, what's going on here? But yeah, I agree with you. And honestly, that's one of my favorite parts of this job. I like to joke with my wife. I think I got hired for this role because I actually like spending time on the phone with people. and I have been doing it quite a bit. But I mean, I was sitting here driving this morning, driving to work, and I was sitting there praying on my way to work. And I was thinking, man, I have the best job in the world. I am so thankful for the opportunity to get exposed to so many people who are just, they're experts in what they do. I love talking to groups like when you guys are coming down here. I just love it. It's so much fun. I thoroughly enjoy it. And just to get a chance to learn from people who have been doing this longer than me, and they're an absolute master at what they do. It never gets old.
Yeah. Again, that has been the focus of, and that's the primary reason for this joint meeting that we do. It's all about the relationships. And we've had quite a few, you know, guest speakers have spoke that about, you know, that have kind of helped us key in on some of those relationships. And like I said, Joe and Brian and I talked about it. So I think, you know, that keeping that focus going through, you know, yes, this is going to be a far more technical, exercise than anything we've embarked on before. But, you know, behind all of that, I think, you know, the relationships will shine through. Nathan, the other thing that Joe mentioned, as he's the only one of our group that I've spoken to who's actually had the chance to come down and tour the track once before. When I asked him about what he was looking forward to the most on his second trip, and he mentioned the lab, and he just said, you know, I the first time everything was new and I was just in awe. And he said, you know, the lab was cool, and he said, but this time around, I think, you know, being my second experience, I'm going to be able to soak in a little bit more. And he said he was more excited about the lab. So in your opinion, what is it that makes somebody like Joe feel that way about a second trip there? What is it about the lab? I mean, you did mention a part, you know, about your lab and some of the tools that you guys created that not something mm-hmm. you can, you know, order or buy from somewhere. What else do you have out there?
So I think I am kind of uniquely suited to answer this because I started working in that lab in January of 2012 as a student, and I worked there in various capacities up until April of this year. I think what makes it special, and there's other labs like it, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to act like we're the only one, but we certainly are kind of in a top group of just state-of-the-art labs. One, it's the space that we have. We are very blessed to have quite a large building. And so what can large buildings do? They can hold a lot of equipment, right? And hold a large staff. So we have professional staff, but we are also a teaching lab. So it's always interesting because you've got groups coming through and then you've got graduate students or undergraduate students who are off onto the side and they're working through something or they're making samples and they pause and they chat about what they do. But I think what draws so many people to it is just the variety of equipment that we have. So whether you are an asphalt binder chemist and don't really know anything about mix design or aggregates, well, there's something there for you. Whether you're somebody who, you know, a geologist who shows up and you maybe understand aggregate mineralogy more than anybody else, but you still don't know anything about mix design, well, there's something there for you. Maybe you're a QC technician, and you can see gyratory compactors and bulk stations and, you know, shakers and all kinds of stuff. I think it's the variety of top of the line equipment that we are blessed to have. And then just the knowledgeable staff that we have. And I was formerly part of this lab, and the team that they have there is just outstanding, absolutely outstanding, who really know their stuff. So as they're walking through, not only are they showing you this equipment, but they're explaining how they've used this equipment before to solve certain problems. So I think it's the variety, because as you walk through, there's some familiarity to it, but then there's also some stuff that you've never seen before.
Cool. I'm excited. I mean, everything, our conversation today, because, you know, I think I'm very similar to you in that I'm naturally inquisitive. I often, when I'm doing something new with somebody, I always apologize. And I'm like, I know I sound like a 2-year-old where I just keep asking why? But, you know, I always ask a lot of my mind is always, I'm naturally inquisitive. I always want to learn. So I'm really excited about the opportunity that we're going to have coming down there. Like I said, we're going to be there October 6th through the 9th. We're really looking forward to it. Hopefully we've opened this up also, not just our, you know, emerging leaders and young leaders. We've opened it up to all of our members from Missouri and Arkansas. So, you know, I think we're going to have a pretty diverse group down there. So we're really looking forward to it. Is there anything else from your standpoint, Nathan, that you think that our group should know about before they come, or anything you'd like to say to somebody to maybe encourage them if they're on the fence about whether they should take the time out and come down? Is there anything that you would say to those folks?
Yeah, I would definitely encourage anyone who has the ability to come. Know that you're invited. I don't care what your role in your company is, how knowledgeable you are about asphalt, you're invited and welcome. We would love for you to be here. And then also, I would just encourage I'm gonna circle back to you, what you said, Rick, about just about the collaboration and the shop talk. Come ready to ask questions and share your experiences, because I'm telling you, groups like this, whether they're like training classes that we teach, where you've got a room full of folks who have lots of good experience, or, you know, tour groups like this, they're some of the best incubators of knowledge, I guess. And that's sort of a strange way to put it, but there's so much to learn by coming and participating. So try to hold your meetings, right? Try to be present, and you'll learn a lot. And I hope you come away, you know, with a rich experience.
Yeah, I think we definitely will. So I really appreciate you taking the time today, Nathan. I know, like I said earlier, you are in the construction process. You've got a lot of balls that you're trying to keep in the air. So I really appreciate you taking the time today to sit down and talk to us about this. And for those of you,
well, it worked out well. This is our first rain day in 4 weeks.
Oh boy.
You know, you can't buy that, right? Yeah. We got pretty fortunate.
Yeah, you guys sound like you need the rain. Yeah, we've it seems like up here in the St. Louis area, the problem has been it's either we're it comes in buckets, and unfortunately it's either super dry or super wet. We haven't really gotten it hasn't been consistent. So we've been pretty dry here recently. So hopefully we'll get some of that rain here too. But for any of members out there that are listening to this, and if we've convinced you that this is something you'd like to maybe take part in, please head over to our website. That's moasphalt.org. You can get registered there. All the information is under our events tab. So if you've got anything, or you can certainly reach out to myself or to Tammy in the office. We'd be more than happy to help get you set up to join us down there with Nathan on October 6th through the 9th. So, and I hope everybody has enjoyed listening to this episode. This really good, this two-part episode of Asphalt Talk. It's the podcast for and by professionals in the asphalt industry. If you've enjoyed listening and learned something, please leave us a review. Your review will help us connect with other professionals like yourself so we can keep the conversation going. Thanks and have a great day.
1992 called, they want their website back. Stop apologizing for your crappy site and stop working with that company who thinks hot mix is the latest snack craze. Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. And get a website that's not a gigantic pain in the you-know-what to build. Visit maycreate.com, that's maycreate.com, for a free consultation and quote. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.